This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The periodic table of the elements has been hailed as a paradigm of scientific organization. But the names of the individual elements featured on the periodic table are not nearly as orderly. Some are named for the places they were discovered. Others date back thousands of years. Still others are the product of misunderstandings, scientific vanity, and other reasons. Joe Hansen is the host and writer behind PBS Digital Studios' It's Okay to Be Smart. And he's here with us to unravel the strange history of how the elements got their names. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Virginia. How's it going?
Just fine. I'm very happy to speak with you today, especially after watching this terrific little video explaining this very subject. And the entire thing rhymed. Let's hear just a little.
This one's from a redstone, and this one's yellow. And one's from a rock named for this Russian fellow. Chromium's compounds have colorful sheens. Bromine stinks, and chlorine wafts green.
Now, we're not going to ask you to rhyme during this interview, but let's start with the fact that so many elements do end in Why is that?
Well, you know, the guys who discovered a lot of these things, and they were mostly men, learned men of the Renaissance era, the Enlightenment era, Victorian age. This is when chemistry took off, and they studied Greek and Latin. They called themselves natural philosophers. So, of course, Greek and Latin being like the pinnacles of human thought, that those classical societies, it was only natural for them to attach those kind of roots to all the words, all these elements that they were taking out of the earth and bubbling up in their labs.
A number of elements are named using Greek or Latin words that relate to its unique properties. So can you explain some of the different ways that scientists use names to describe elements?
Well, yeah, I mean, the biggest question I had was, why not just call these things numbers, right? I mean, they have a certain number of protons, certain number of neutrons, electrons. Like, why not just call carbon number 6? But it turns out that those names can actually tell us a lot more about not only where the element came from, but what they do. So let's take gold. Gold is AU in the symbol, and that comes from the Latin word for dawn, shining dawn, aurum. But then we say the word gold. We don't call it aurum. And that's from an Anglo-Saxon word that means shining yellow. So both of those kind of describe gold, but we sort of give credit to different parts of European culture and that led to that modern chemistry that found gold.
You mentioned in your rhyming video that neon was named by a child. What's the story there?
Well, the discoverer of all the noble gases, that farthest right column on the periodic table, those were some of the last to be found, and he had done the right chemistry to isolate this element. He sat down with his son, and he asked him if he wanted to name it. And he said, well, that's new. We'll just call it the new noble gas, and neon, it means new.
How about Einsteinium? Was that discovered by Einstein or just named after him?
No, yeah, most of the ones that we name after people are named in honor of them. There's a group of people that name the elements called IUPAC today, IUPAC. It's an international conference of chemists, and they sort of make the rules of chemistry, so to speak. And one of those rules is you can't have an element named after you until you're dead, unfortunately. We did have an exception to that with an element called seaborgium, which was named after a physicist named Seaborg. But that's the only one that didn't follow that rule. Although there is an interesting little naming controversy with the element gallium. We always thought this was named for the country of France, which used to be called Gaul by the Romans. But it turns out this was discovered by a Frenchman named Lecoq. And Lecoq in French means the rooster. And if you took the Latin name of the rooster, it's Gallus. Gallus is the species name. So he might have snuck his own name in there by accident, and we just didn't catch it until now.
Some elements, like promethium, are named for mythical characters. Now, why would scientists turn to that kind of invented cosmology to name scientific elements?
Well, that mythology, you know, some of these visions of Vulcan and the gods creating Earth, well, a lot of these elements came out of that Earth, came out of the deep ground. I think it was only natural that people wondered how they got there. And maybe if they knew some scientific reasons, they didn't mind adding a little bit of story to it. You know, one of my favorites there is the element iron. Well, iron comes from a word called the Anglo-Saxon word eisern, which we can trace back to meaning holy metal. And before we had the power to, you know, make iron in foundries and pull it out of the earth, the only source of that came from meteorites. Iron's a really common mineral in rocks that fall from space. So if you picked up a chunk of iron off the ground and you saw it fall from the sky the night before, you'd call it a holy metal. And that's exactly what ICERN means.
Speaking of space, Element 93, Neptunium. That was not always its name. It managed to change. Tell us the story there.
This is the craziest story that I ran into in deciphering the periodic table. So now Element 92, which is uranium, turns out to be the largest one that we can find in the Earth's crust or anywhere that we look. And with the advent of particle physics, big particle accelerators like CERN, those started in the 1930s. Famous physicist Enrico Fermi was slamming neutrons into heavy elements like uranium, trying to make 93 and above. Well, he thought he did it. He thought he had 93 and 94, and this was the era of Mussolini's rise to power in Italy. He took that to the Italian authorities, and they said, hey, why don't we call this one Mussolinium? But it turned out it had a pretty short half-life, and it decayed very, very quickly, just a matter of minutes or hours. And they thought that might be an insult to Il Duce to say that that his power might be temporary. They did end up giving them Italian names, but those turned out to be incorrect because Fermi didn't, in fact, make Element 93 and 94. They gave him the Nobel Prize for it, but the next year they found out he made a mistake. So even Enrico Fermi can make mistakes.
Do you know all of the elements by heart, Joe?
No, that's why they made the table, so we could look them up.
Well, Joe Hansen, host and writer behind PBS's digital studios, It's Okay to Be Smart. Thanks for bringing us through some elemental knowledge today.
You're very welcome. There's 118 awesome stories sitting there.
Yeah, many elements that we did not get to, and you can find about their origins on Joe's rhyming video about the names of the elements. There's a link to watch it at wordofmouthradio.org. Given their diverse origins and multisyllabic names, learning the elements is not easy. Yet chemistry students around the world still have to remember at least a handful of the most important elements on the table. Our producer Taylor Quimby's 10th grade chemistry class was instructed to memorize the first 20 elements. And Taylor still remembers most of them thanks to a mnemonic device that he came up with. Putting them to song. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, Virginia. How you doing?
Well, I guess it's not surprising that you would put this to song, given your history. How far can you go, though, given that that class took place back in, what, 2000?
Yeah, it was 2000, and I've still got the first 15 memorized by heart.
Okay, do we get to hear them?
We do. Okay, but I should preface this that I have two really different songs with the elements' names. What happened was I was home studying, and so just as I did this, I started sort of singing to myself the elements' names to a variety of different tunes. And eventually I landed on Carol of the Bells. It's not easy. And unfortunately, it only gets you to 15 before the syllables of the elements start to basically mess it up.
Okay. Well, are you feeling it now? Can you hear it?
Hold on. I'm a little nervous. Let me. Okay. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminum, silicon, phosphorus. And then it stops.
Because at this point... But bravo.
Well,
that's
thank you.
Really impressive.
So that would have gotten me, let's see, what's it? 15 out of 20 is a 75.
Uh-huh.
So not a great grade. So what I did was I ended up coming up with my own melody that I think worked a little better. And it definitely got me, I think, up to like 25 or 30, but I have to admit I still only remember the first 15, so I'm going to cheat a little bit to sing you my own version.
Okay, let's have it.
Oh, and you know what? If you want to, you can snap your fingers because it's very snappable. All right. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen, fluorine, and neon, sodium, and magnesium, aluminum, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, and argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, and iron, cobalt, and nickel, Copper, zinc, and gallium. Okay, we're at 31
at
this
point. That's pretty impressive. You took it over the top.
Well, at this point, you can actually use that same rhythm and get up to about 50 before you hit 10. And it just messes the whole thing up. So
I guess the founding namers were not thinking about setting this to song.
Unfortunately, because it would have been so much easier for all the high school students out there who are learning the periodic table.
Well, thanks for sharing it with all of us, Taylor.
Thanks for putting up with my nerves. Ooh.
Producer Taylor Quimby there. If you had a funny method for memorizing the periodic table of the elements, you can share it with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. And of course, we accept audio submissions as well.
Hydrogen, helium, then lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, and neon, then sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, and phosphorus, and sulfur, and chlorine, and argon. And
thank you for joining our radio exploratorium of ideas, music, and other elements today. If you do like what you heard, there is much more to browse through and listen to at wordofmouthradio.org. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to our daily podcast. A simple search for NHPR Word of Mouth on iTunes will get you there. And please tell a friend where to find us. After all, word of mouth is all about sharing ideas. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more Word of Mouth this Saturday at noon on NHPR.
The metals are good at conducting heat and electricity, but non-metals are not and usually have lower densities. But in between the two opposing chemical families are the mental elements that...